Blog Talk Radio.
Grand Rising, my sisters and brothers out there in radio land. Blessings on this day, this great Thursday. I want to welcome everyone to the show. We have a lot to discuss, and I want to try to get through this as much as I can. I'm going to try not to leave out the most important things that I want to discuss. But today we're discussing love. Okay? I know we all fall short of our higher powers. But every day we rise like the sun, we are experiencing the love and laws of the Most High. There is no love without law. There is no law without love. The Old Testament talks about love and the law of the Supreme Most High. When most of us think of the Old Testament, we think of plagues, wars, and judgments brought onto humanity by Yahweh. But when we think of the New Testament, which was centered around Rome, we think of Christ's love for the church and the communion of early Christians. Because in the Old Testament, it was all about ahava, which is a Hebrew word for love, the actions of the Creator towards his creation, which was man. And we got to get this right. If we ever want unity in our people, we have to get this understanding of love. Not this Roman-type love, but we are Hebrews. Our love is called ahava, which is an action, not this characteristics love, okay? So in both books, it's all about separating ourselves from Babylon. That means giving up their pleasures and idol worshiping and rituals. So today, my chief obligation is to raise your affections of God to understand why God loves us the way he does. Even if he punishes us, it's still love. It's still love. And we're going to get to that, okay? So in order to understand how Yahweh expresses his love to humanity, we need to understand the laws of the universe. That's how we're going to understand the power of love. So, sorry about that. I'm being interrupted by a call, but I can't take that call right now. So, anyway, so we must know that the laws of love is a universal thing. I remember studying Newton's laws of motion, which are three of them. And it describes the relationship between motion of an object and the forces acting upon that object. We must know that if we are in motion of anything, there is a law for it. Like our subject today, love. There is a law for love. So in short, we are that object, and Yahweh is that force acting upon our lives, negatively and positively. Love can be life or death. So, out of the Old Testament, I was reading the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and verse 1 through 3, because in my state of understanding, to me, that was a form of love that I can now relate to and look at the world totally different. This information that was given in the book of Isaiah was repeated by Jesus in the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read it. It's very short. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Adonai, Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Okay? That's very important. He calls us by name. Okay? It's really important. So what the Adonai is saying here in Isaiah's writing reflects Jesus' words in the New Testament. When he said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's in Matthew 28:20. Go look it up. Jesus is not speaking of some new truth. He refers to something that has been true forever. God is with us because he loves us. And this is so worth understanding in John 14:31, because Jesus expressed his love for God the Father. In that verse, it was a direct statement by Jesus in the New Testament about Jesus' love for God the Father. It is the only statement, it's the only direct statement, I'm sorry, because the word direct is very important. So we can't confuse it with anything. And he says in John 14:31, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Jesus is letting them know that you can't love the Father without keeping his commandments. Okay? So in Matthew 22:36-40, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But we're going to go on down and we're going to get to the light of what's going on, okay, in the world today. And that's going to bring you to 2 Timothy 3:4, okay? This speaks of a certain people as lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. He even said these people are of corrupt mind and counterfeit faith and also oppose the truth. Now, could he have been talking about the Roman Jews when he said this? Have we become followers of the Roman Jews? When we're seeking for love, when we try to get the understanding of love, are we looking at that love as a romantic type love given to us by the Romans? Well, let's see. Okay, so here's what Roman religion involves. Cult worship. They were and still are lovers of themselves. Their blessings and approval from their God did not depend on their behavior, but on accuracy observance of their religious rituals. Let me read that again. Their blessings and approval from the gods did not depend on their behavior, but on accurate observance of religious rituals. And some of those rituals, human blood sacrificing, the drinking of children's blood, rape of children, murder of innocent children, pedophilia, sex trafficking, just to name a few. So I'm not going to get into all of their rituals, but to them that is pleasure. It is a feeling of happy and satisfaction and enjoyment for them. Rome lived by this, and sex was their tool to achieve this enjoyment, satisfaction. This is why the world is in the pursuit of pleasures and not for the love of God. So when we think of love, it's easy to think about good feelings, but real love is not dependent on feelings. It is not so much about, you know, how you feel about someone. Whether it is romantic love, a member of a family, a friend, a coworker, so often love is given and received based on what we can get out of it. But what do you do when it costs you something to love someone? Let's talk about this love in this form of good and evil. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it first says that love is patient. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now, I know we all can do half of that, but getting angry and upset, we all are under construction. We're still under construction. People fall short during the patient time. I really don't have to name the ways that people fall short in having patience, but you all know within yourself that you fall short because it's not a true patience for love. But I know who do have patience, Yahweh, God Almighty. According to biblical time, it has been thousands of years or more that Yahweh has been waiting on his people to humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Now, that's patience. We don't have that. Some people can't go a day to wait, okay? So good and evil also began in the garden. It was called choice. Man and woman both ate the forbidden fruit, and neither died. The serpent was right. Give it up. The serpent was right, but God abandons Adam and Eve from the garden as punishment for defying his command. Okay? And in Deuteronomy 28:1, it tells you simply, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments, he will give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. He will do that today if we carefully, and that's a big word, follow all his commandments, carefully. And in the second verse, it says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So when these blessings accompany you, that means they're going to follow you wherever you go, whether you in the city or whether you in the country. You know what I'm saying? They will follow you. However, in 28:15, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commandments and decrees, I am giving you today all these cursings which come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. So it's all about keeping the commandment of God. That's what love is. That's what love is about. It has nothing to do with people, places, and things. It doesn't. We incorporate that from the Roman standpoint. And it goes on to say that love is kind. Kindness is being of a sympathetic or helpful nature. Being kind improves our quality of life. And I can't think of no one kinder than Jesus. When he walked upon the earth, he showed us how to be kind to others in a way that goes beyond comprehension. He showed compassion to the leper, the prostitute, the lame, the forgotten, even the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is known for stopping to help a man who was robbed, beaten, and left for dead after a priest and a Levite saw him and passed him. Okay? And as far as love between a man and a kindness between a man and a woman, Boaz and Ruth. Ruth showed kindness to Boaz in a way that truly touched his heart. In return, Boaz dedicated the rest of his life to her by making her his wife, okay? And then there was Pharaoh's daughter. She showed kindness. She was known for saving baby Moses from the river, even though she knew he was a Hebrew baby, and her father had commanded to kill all Hebrew babies, okay? So let's think about this. Let's think about this being kind for a minute, okay? So, and it goes on to say, love does not envy. Envy, people, is just like jealousy. Envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or looks. Both jealousy and envy are natural emotions. When either of these emotions consumes us and we react unreasonably instead of consciously, then the emotions can lead to bad results. People do harmful things when in jealous rages. They end very important relationships with those that they envy. So in our fallen nature, we are naturally discontent. We are not content because we're always playing we're always playing this game. If only I had more money in my bank account, I'd be content. If only I had a church that followed my leadership. If only my children were better behaved. If only I had a job that I enjoyed. If onlys are endless. So in our self-idolatry, we tend to think that a change in circumstances will bring us joy and contentment. For most of us, that is, the grass is always greener unless we learn to find our contentment in something that is transcendent and eternal. And that's a fact. So God's grace teaches us to say no to our worldly passions. It's only through Him that we can be content. Okay? Love does not boast. And you have a lot of people today, you know, boasting means you talking obsessively about your, you know, pride, self-satisfaction is about your achievements, possessions, and abilities. But I ain't going to steady long on this because we all know what bragging and boasting is. So in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "But let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Okay? Love is not proud. We all struggle with pride in life. We all do. Sadly, though, many of us do not realize the potential that awaits for us if we just let go of our pride and move forward in God's plan. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to warn us that God hates the sin of pride and will discipline the proud. Let us not see ourselves as wise in our own eyes, but let us become humble and willing to learn from God and others. Love does not dishonor others. It doesn't. It respects. So when you dishonor means to observe or respect. Let's get that out of the way. And that means in an agreement or in any type of principle. Now, God has made a covenant. Yahweh has made a covenant with his chosen. And he's sworn by David, his servant, that thy seed will I he establish forever and build upon thy throne for all generations. Okay? But in Psalms 89:30-33, it says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgment, if they violate my statutes and fail to keep my commandments, I will attend to their transgressions with the rod and to their iniquities with stripes. But I will not withdraw my loving devotion from him, nor ever betray my faithfulness. Okay? Love is not self-seeking. And self-seeking is an act or practice of selflessly advancing one's own end. And we really do that a lot. Most people are familiar with what it means to be selfish and self-centered, but self-seeking is when you are doing something in order to receive something in return. Okay? When we look at this, our ego tries to protect us when we do things like that. The ego makes us believe that we are being kind, loving people who are constantly doing selfless acts for others. But is that really what's going on in your mind? You may be low on money and need to borrow some. And you'll go to a family member that you once did something for, and you did it out of selflessness. And this is when you get to the point where you know whether or not you did it for selflessness, okay? So that person tells you no. Then you get angry. You get into an argument. And you remind them all the nice things you've done for them, and you feel justified because you were being so selfless. This is where you have to really pause and recognize that you really wasn't doing those things out of kindness of your heart. You were doing those things in an act of self-seeking because you were eventually expecting something in return. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Record keeping is the act of keeping track of the history. Okay? A lot of us, hey, listen, I know a lot of record keepers that missed their calling because they would have been some of the best record keepers ever. The most famous line in record keeping is, I did this for you and that for you. And then the next word, I did this for you and I did that for you. And I also did this, that, and that. So many times that we can't move ahead because of the past holding us back. But it is, again, natural human instinct is to keep score, to get even, to hold on to hurt feelings against those who have mistreated us. But that's not Christ-like. Christ-like follows the pattern of Ephesians 4:32, recognizing that the great sin God has forgiven us through Christ and turning to do the same for those who sin against us. Now, you got to think about it. Did we learn this behavior from the Romans? It's interesting, really, this concept of falling in love, falling in and out of love. You know, the very word falling implies something that ain't right. That's the first thing. Unfortunately, so much of how we practice love is what we have seen in movies. We've heard these romantic tales told over and over and over again throughout our lives with different characters and different background music. But we often forget these are fairy tales and have nothing to do with what love really is. So if this is not love, then what is love? Okay, so when we examine love, the Bible should be our dictionary. This means we should allow the scriptures to help us understand the words that are being used. The original language of the scriptures were in Hebrew. Hebrew is a living language. It is a power-filled force that helps us better know the world around us. Love is an action, people. It is not an emotion. Okay, the Romans made it an emotion, made it out of an emotion. They even gave us Cupid with a bow and did a shoot through your arc. So love in its purest form is not something that happens to you. It is a condition that we create when we give ourselves. When we give our heart to God, his love purifies our hearts, and through it we become transformed and self-sacrificing. We reflect more of the attributes of qualities of God. That's what love does for us. It is an action. The Hebrew word love I mentioned before, ahava, because Hebrew is a holy language. The script, even the structure of the words, down to each letter, serves to define it. The root of ahava is hava, which literally means to offer or to give. Okay? It also shares the word ahav, which means to nurture or to devote completely to another. So the essence of ahava, love, which means giving, is the vehicle of love. Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Roman love may focus on receiving, but ahava is all about giving. The truth about ahava will inspire and challenge you to rethink your love of man and of your creator. So In the case of love of God, the point is to open oneself up to the awe and amazement of God's creation. We, in the case of love of other people, we must act lovingly. When we approach loving another from a deeper place, a place beyond our physical wants and needs, we are able to tap into the very essence of what loving is. When we look at love as just another of our bodily needs, a need to be cared for or nurtured, and a need for intimacy, we may find achieving love difficult and sometimes even elusive. But when we look at love as transcendent, that links our deepest self to God and everyone around us, then we are approaching love from a soulful place, a selfless place, and that is what true love, ahava, is all about. Being the center of someone's attention isn't love. And love isn't about getting some feelings or fixed. Ahava is about giving devotion and time. There is a difference. You don't fall in love. You give love. Okay? And I want to leave you, family, with this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And we better grab a hold to that, because in this day and time that we're in now, is very, very difficult, because now the world has changed. And people have assumed the Roman type love to be the pinnacle of everything, and it's not. We are putting pleasures before measures. That's the point. So if you are putting your pleasures before the measure, then you're going to have a hell of a ride with love. You're going to have a hell of a ride with love. So we're going to have to get this thing together. And as people, as children of the Most High, the children of Israel, we have definitely got to understand that there is no love without law, and there is no law without love. If we are not going to be able to handle the law part of it, we will never have the loveness of God. And nothing will work. No unity. None of that is going to work without the love of law. If we don't have the love, if we can't get the love of law right, then all that other type love is just, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what else to call it other than just selflessness. It's just selfishness. So we got to get it right, people. I love you on this day. I love you tomorrow. I'll be back with you on next week, and we're going to be talking on another subject. I really want to continue this love subject, because we really haven't even gotten into the matter of what is going on in our nation when it comes to love. So God bless you all, and I'll see you next Saturday. Thank you.